Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, before this show starts, just want to let you know that over on Red Men Plus, our subscription service, we've got tons and tons of Liverpool content in podcast form as well. You love podcasts, we love making podcasts. Go and check it all out. That's redmenplus.com. Sign up for as little as £5 a month. You will not regret it. Now, enjoy the show.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. It is Liverpool versus Manchester City at Anfield in the 4:30 Sunday kickoff. It is probably the best team in England versus a team that's at the top right now. Liverpool, of course, the best team in England, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Manchester City, they're having the moment in the sunshine. Well, that's a few years, to be fair. But I am joined by Steve and by John for this one. Thank you very much for joining us. Fresh off the back of a 7-goal rout of Rangers, lads, feeling a little bit more confident, feel like we can get a draw now, whereas I was feeling we were going to get humped about 5-0 this time yesterday. Life is good, mate, isn't it?
It's better, yeah. I'm a bit more confident, and you're certainly better, mate, because I was out there last night when you were going nuts in here, mate. So, that's really timely boost, that, in terms of confidence and the result. So if you ever wanted anything to take into a game against these, we got it last night.
Yeah, we did. But before I get your thoughts on this, John, we are on the road to 500,000 subscribers. We are 421 shy. So please, if we could get there, that would be absolutely fantastic. It's been 12 years in the making. 12 years, how many studios, how much blood, sweat and tears. Where's that young thin lad gone? I do not know. But close to 500,000 subscribers will do that to you. John, we are full of confidence after last night. You have to be. And it, as Steve sort of alluded to, we know it's going to be a tougher test, but we needed that victory heading into this game, I feel.
Yeah, we did. And there was aspects of it that in the second half I think was probably a bit of a reversion to mean, mainly just because of personnel. I think just because of like the injuries that we've had, he's had to sort of put out the team we're used to seeing for the last 5-6 years. But you know, what does 3 goals do for, I mean, beyond all the sort of history side of it, fastest hat trick and all that type of stuff, what does that do for Mo Salah in terms of his confidence? And he's the type of player we're going to need to lean on in this game, I think, in terms of, obviously he's been there, done it before against City and stuff. Firmino as well, keep that ticking over. You know, we don't seem to be having as much problem this season, I think, at the top end of the pitch as we do at the other end of the pitch, which I'm sure we'll come on to in terms of the build-up. But no, can only be a good thing, I think. And, you know, no injuries, no fresh injuries. You know, some of the young bloods, obviously Harvey Elliott getting a goal, he's going to be in and around the squad, I reckon, for this game. So all good stuff.
Yeah, I think that's right. I want to leave the formation stuff for later in the show, to be honest. And so I'm glad you haven't mentioned any of that yet. But we got to think of last night. I think we've got to have our heads screwed on as well. It's easy for me to get carried away because we scored 7 goals. But when you think back to last night's performance and the partner of the Red Sea for their goal, like how do Liverpool make sure that they don't do that again against them? Because it's 17 and 21 now, we've conceded first.
And that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? One that if I had the answer, I might not be sat here talking to you guys. Might be involved over at the coaching staff at Liverpool. Just really to be switched on from the off. We seem lackadaisical when we start games. We're not at the races. We don't start well. We're not switched on. We're not enthusiastic. We're not aggressive enough. We're not intense enough. There's that word again. The book comes out calling intensity. And then from the day after that, we're devoid of the lot of it, aren't we? So I think what we need to do is the players need to come out on the pitch. Need to identify who they're playing against directly, because this is where these games are won and lost, and you need to go and win your battles from the first whistle. And I don't think you can say that of Liverpool in the this season, and to some degree in games last season, where I don't know if complacency comes into it, but it's kind of like, well, we're on this great run, so they might score first, but we'll be okay. But it's not the same anymore. There's a difference in the squad. It's a bit more fragile than it was before. So what I want to see is 5, 6, 7 individual battles won, and that's a great platform to go on and win the game, or get something from the game at least.
I think that's right. I think if you can win 7 individual battles, you're probably on to a winner there, aren't you? And that's the difficulty, isn't it, when you think of these games at Manchester City. Yeah, we beat them in the Community Shield. It feels a long time ago now, John, but is there anything from that we can draw on for this game?
I think so. I mean, you've got to remember, the sort of weird thing with this season, I think, so far, is that we haven't just been exclusively awful. You know what I mean? It's one thing for us to be absolutely shocking every game, but even in the games...
We've not been exclusively awful. That is a brilliant turn of phrase, and so
that,
true.
Mate. Well done.
But we have, even like last night, first half, we weren't great, but in the second half, we were really good. And it's like, it's that balance. And going back to the City game and the Community Shield, we were brilliant. I don't know what happened. We showed up and we were brilliant for 90 minutes, pretty much. So you've got to hope that he can draw on that. I'm hoping, sort of, I guess, riffing off Steve's point, is that I hope it'll be treated a bit like a derby game. You know, the sort of cliche of form goes out the window. I hope we sort of show up and think, right, it's going to be a bit mad. And at the minute, that might suit us, I think, in terms of, we seem to be going into games, as you say, sort of lacking the intensity, lacking the focus. If it's mad from minute one, and, you know, we have to be alert to things because of the atmosphere and stuff, then I think that might help us treat it more like a Champions League game than it is like a league game, which is where we're struggling at the minute. But it's on the players, I think, to be a bit more... You know, Liverpool under Klopp, when we've been at our best, we haven't been worried about passing the ball around for 10 minutes at the start of games and stuff, whereas now we almost be trying to, like, we're trying to force it, and we're not like trying to make, you know, the smart decision as opposed to some of the decisions that we have been making. So I just want to see them just get back to a bit of that. And like I say, I think... the intensity of it, and it's going to get the full build up on Sky and stuff, might actually help them in that sense, I think.
Yeah, and then the thing that I keep coming back to over the last week, Stan, we'll have had this conversation, is like, I think our experienced players need to show that they're experienced. Like, I'm okay with Hendo and Thiago not being the fastest players in the world, but they're in there for their experience. And what we've seen over the last few weeks is a lack of game management, a lack of nous on the football field. So if you've got experienced players, they've got to utilise that experience, and that's probably what we're not seeing. We need those lads to step up this time, don't we?
So all that points to self-motivation for me, because if you go and play any sport, self-pride should say to you, you're not getting the best of me, you're not getting one over on me. In a team game, you get the opportunity to pass that responsibility on to somebody else. Okay, I'm not having a great game, but he's doing all right, and he's doing all right, and he's doing all right, and we'll get through this. That needs to stop, and everybody needs to be accountable for their own performances. And I think the moment we get that, we change as a team, because you're quite right. You know, you look at Henderson. Henderson's been round the block. Henderson's won everything football has to offer. He's a great man manager. He's Klopp on the pitch. But at times, they're getting advanced of him, and he's walking and he's shouting and pointing at people, and that's not Henderson. That's not the Henderson that you and I have come to love.
He picks his socks up and he fucking goes.
Yeah, he used to break his neck to get back there and then hand out a proper bollocking to somebody, by the way. I've said this to you before many times. I just wonder how much is left in the tank, because he's been playing Klopp football, which is really hard to do, for 5, 6 years with him, and it's taken an awful lot from him. And this thing about pace and power in the midfield, I just wonder how much these guys have got left in the tank. But that said, a lack of self-motivation doesn't work for me. We need to see more from these guys.
Yeah, we absolutely do, don't we? And I think, let's talk a little bit about City. We know, obviously, Erling Haaland's going to cause us some problems unless they inexplicably rest him at the weekend at Anfield. I can't imagine that's going to happen, so we're going to have to deal with him somehow. How do you solve a problem like Erling Haaland? Sounds like a musical.
You've got no chance of answering that now.
I think there's two ways. You get Hammerstein in. No, I think the obvious one is that you put someone on him, and that's obviously going to be Van Dijk, I think. And you know, we've had experience of playing against him before, haven't we, when he was at Salzburg and stuff. So it's not as if we're not familiar with what his game is. I think the honest answer really is that you cut him off. You know, the critique I think that he had early in the season, and I would have of him, if you like, is he's not involved in their build up at all. Haaland, you know, in terms of like what he does, they get the ball to him and then he just scores basically. So if you can isolate him, I think, whether that's isolating him or isolating the supply line, which basically means you're going to put a man on De Bruyne, doesn't it? And midfield's not where we're strongest at the minute. But, you know, that's what I'd be looking to do. I'd be looking to get in amongst City and go, all right, whatever happens, we keep that ball away from Haaland. Because then you're relying on a Bernardo Silva or whoever to try and maybe cut inside and do something, I think.
Oh, shit. They've got options, haven't they, to be fair? Like, if you do manage to stifle Kevin De Bruyne, you know, Foden and Silva and these players, that's the thing. And the best thing about Manchester City is a footballing team. As I like to, when I'm talking about, we're talking about games against City, I think you do have to separate the players and the manager from the nonsense that's above them and all that type of stuff. Yeah. These lads are fucking brilliant and they are exceptionally well coached and they're one of the best sides that's ever been assembled. How they got assembled, I won't touch on this show. We all know it. But they are one of the best drilled sides I've ever seen in football, and they get to the byline better than any other side, and that is where the supply line is to Haaland, isn't it? How many times have you seen City pull back from the touchline into the 6-yard box and someone's there? That, how do you stop that? Because they always use the 1-2s, they have done for 100%. Years.
And if you could look above his Barcelona managerial career, his Bayern Munich managerial career, now his Manchester City managerial career, and look down on his game plan, it's all about triangles, it's all about angles, it's all about creating that opportunity to get in behind you and pull it back. John's right, you've got to kill the supply, but you can't go man to man under Bruyne, who's too good, and you're basically taking a man out of your team. If you're brave against Manchester City and you stay high and wide, and the best game I can use as an example, I'm sorry lads, but I'm going to do it, is the Champions League final against Chelsea, where they left Timo Werner high and wide because of his intelligent running. He couldn't finish for shit, but he was an intelligent runner. So what he said to Manchester City was, do not engage your centre-halves with your midfield, because if you do, we'll just bypass you and we'll get in behind you. We've got to do something similar. When you're brave against Manchester City, you get opportunities. When you turn up and try and have what you hold, you get destroyed because they're just too good for all the reasons you just said, the triangles, the angles, the De Bruyne's of this world and people like that. So you stay high, you stay wide, and you make sure their defenders have to defend, and you stop them joining in with the midfield, because in the game we lost 4-1 at Anfield, they spent the entire second half, every one of their players by the goalkeeper in our half, because we didn't offer an out ball. So you have to do that. Leeds beat them with 10 men on the pitch, because when they went down to 10 men, they just went one over there and one over there and said, your fullbacks defensively are not brilliant. And they're not. But they're great going forward.
And they've got Kyle Walker missing as well.
Exactly, and John Stones, who's been playing at right back. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. So what we'll do is we'll give you a problem to solve, and we are playing at home. So don't come out and be passive. Don't come out and try and problem solve. Don't come out and go, oh, what are these on the ball today? Are these good? Because, yeah, they are. You've just referenced it and you're right. Go and play your football and go and be brave and go and ask them questions. I am tired of watching games where they score after 55 seconds and they end up winning 5-0 because teams have shit the bed before they even go on the pitch.
So how do Liverpool start this game then, John? Is it high intensity from the off? Is it being brave? Or when you're playing with a bit of a lack of confidence like Liverpool have over the last few weeks, are you leaving yourself open? Like, our weakness at the moment for me, and I don't know whether you agree, is the soft underbelly. Well, you might expose it if you do what Steve's saying.
You do, but I think we've been guilty this season, I think, because of this sort of crisis of confidence of not doing what we're good at. And by that, I mean, you know, say like Arsenal, the Arsenal game, I don't think we gave Arsenal their back line enough of a problem to deal with, in the sense of we didn't do what we're good at. We didn't say to them, by the way, you've got to deal with Salah all game and you're not going to be able to go forward because you've got to worry about him going the other way. And we didn't do that enough, especially looking at some of the past maps that come out of that match in terms of where he was, Salah, he was so isolated. If you do that to City, as I think as Steve says, you know, that's how you get at City. You get at that back line, and they're so well drilled in what he does, Guardiola, that when it works brilliantly. But we've all seen it where they'll pass back to the goalkeeper and you can nip in, and all of a sudden it's panic stations for Edison or whatever, that type of stuff. You know, we've got in terms of the players we've got going forward. We've got the speed, but we've also got the press. You know, Firmino's in the form of his life at the minute, and no one knows where it's come from, but he's exactly the type of player you'd want for this. Jota, I'd personally be putting, off the back of Rangers, I'd be putting Salah back either up front or back where he's supposed to be. You know, maybe not pulling wide as much, maybe keep Nunez on the bench for late in the game. And it's a plan B, isn't it? If depending on where we are on 60 type thing. But I'd be doing what we've done for the last 5 years and trying to just go for the jugular and going, you cope with what we do first. Because that also mitigates the other end. If they're suddenly worried about us attacking their defence, we don't have to worry as much about what's going on at the other end of our pitch.
And I'm playing devil's advocate there with the question, by the way, because I do agree with you. And I think Liverpool, we're not in a place where, and I agree with you about this as well, if you sit back and try and keep hold of what you've got, you're going to get slaughtered, basically, against City. So draws don't do us anything. A loss ain't going to do us anything. So that means we've got to go for the win.
Also,
3 points is what we need. We can't afford a draw, even though it is City. Normally you'd look at this, if we can get a draw, that's fine. Yeah. It's not today.
I think it's kind of universally agreed that City are going to go on and win the title. It would take a massive drop off from them not to do it. You know, Arsenal are going well. But
they haven't
season,
put a season together
the season's
yet.
Long, and there'll be things that happen to Arsenal that potentially scupper their challenge. So yeah, we're not going to be defined by losing to Arsenal last weekend and losing to Manchester City this weekend. Potentially, that doesn't define your season because we're in a top four race. I think the title's gone. It won't be decided in our ninth game or tenth game of the season either. So there's still 100 points to play for. So you can afford to go and do what you need to do. Sometimes it's better to lose and play well and do what you do well than to sit back and try and hold somebody like Manchester City and fail, and then the fans come away frustrated. If we were to lose by the odd goal, or we win by the odd goal, it's been a really open and exciting game, the feeling transcends itself from the stand to the pitch because we're open, we're playing well, we're doing what we want to see. If we go there and don't do anything, and damned if you do and damned if you don't scenario, you do nothing, you invariably get beat, the frustration transcends itself from the stands. We're going to need the fans to be involved at the weekend, and I think the way we do that is we start with energy, and straight away they'll play with Nathan Ake in their back four somewhere. You can get it, Nathan Ake. He's never a £50 million centre back, not in a million years. So you've got to look at what they're doing. We've got to go back to doing what the great Liverpool sides have always done, which is worry about what we do, not worry about what Manchester City
absolutely
is going to do.
Completely agree. We're going to talk formations and stuff very shortly, of course. But we've teamed up with BetMate. So I don't know if anybody's new to this. It's basically sort of seven aside. You get to pick 11 players, I think it is. Six from each side. You need a goalkeeper. You need two defenders, two midfielders, two strikers, so it's seven, in total. Four subs as well. And if obviously you can win dough on this as well. So there's a Liverpool-Manchester City game. It's £1,000 up for grabs. If you get over there, then you type in the code REDMEN5, then you will be able to get a £5 free bet as well. But let's look back at last week's league table. So the weekly league table, Steve came out on top at 33.5 points, won £5.20. I came second with 24.5 points. Paul came 105th or third with 23 points. And the REDMEN guest on the build-up show, only 22 points. The season-long table now then. Paul's top of the pile with 291 points. I'm second with 290. Steve, 280. It's close, bloody hell. And Redburn Guest, 286 points. I've more than the most dough, though. So on me, I should be top of that table. But it's all right, because I've got money in my back pocket, which is quite cool. We'll have a little bit more on that later. We've got a quick break coming up, but a trivia question before we do. And I think you'll like this trivia question. Name the last five players that went directly from Liverpool to City or City to Liverpool. There's three that have gone to City from Liverpool, and there's two that have gone from City to Liverpool. It goes back to 1991, the five players, just to give you just 1 year before the Premier League was born. So there we go. And check out Red Men Plus, where we have a little bit of a break.
Hello everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. While I've got you here for a minute, let me tell you about Redmen Plus, our amazing subscription service dedicated to all things Liverpool. Over on Redmen Plus, you will get access to the best premium content, including more podcasts that you'll enjoy. You'll get access to exclusive merch discounts, and you'll even get access to our very own Discord server and Facebook group. There's so much more to offer. To find out more, head over to www.redmenplus.com and get your subscription. Nice one, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us. That was a little bit about Redmen Plus. Obviously, Redmen Plus is our streaming service. The subscribers over there afford us to be able to do all this free content. We absolutely love each and every one of them. And for that love, we will return it with absolutely incredible content week in, week out. And Discord groups and merchandise and all kinds of stuff. Discounts, free tickets to live shows. There is literally so much that you can get from a Redmen Plus subscription. So if you like what we do, you like the cut of our jib, then go over there and give it a go. It really is worth the money. So yeah, please give it a try if it's something that you're interested in. Obviously, I know that time's hard for everybody at the moment, so don't want anybody stretching themselves either. I think that's important to say at times. So we had the trivia question. The trivia question was about transfers between the two clubs. I said there's three going from Liverpool to Manchester City, and there's two going from City to Liverpool. Gentlemen, do you have the answer?
So we think the two from City to Liverpool would be Milner and I think Bellamy. Going the other way, Steve McMahon went, I'm sure he went to City, and I'm not sure if 91 is the year that he went there. So
he did.
So I'm going to go.
He did.
Yeah, so that's three.
Sterling.
Sterling, that's four. And there's one more being... Oh, God, who's the one more?
Let's see if anybody's got this in the comments section right now. It's going to be tough. Going to be tough for everybody.
I'm going to leave it at four and see if the chat get the fifth one.
According to LFC history, Milner isn't one of them.
Okay.
I don't know whether that was because his contract ran out or something, or right, was like a direct transfer between them. So it was Robbie Fowler, as mentioned by Protegido.
I said that and he talked me out of it.
Yeah, and Craig Bellamy.
Yeah,
both on freeze, of course, and going the other way, Steve McMahon, which I think was the one that I was hoping that you wouldn't be able to get, a very famous double European Cup winning manager's son that once played for Liverpool, played in the middle of the park and was absolutely bollocks, early 90s, rhymes with buff. First name rhymes with
Nigel
Clough. Yes, well done. How did you ever get that one, gentlemen? And Raheem Sterling. So he went to Manchester City for 1.5 million quid
in January 1996. So we got three, but all the technicality we're going to claim four, aren't we?
You got the hard one. It's the important
thing. No one got that one, and I'm not surprised. No one even remembered that Nigel Clough played for us.
Who?
But he did. Here we go. Let's talk a little bit about injuries. I think one of the things that I think might be one of the most important things going into this game, actually, John, was that Robbo got a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get into formations and everything else, does him getting 20 minutes the other night make you think he might start against City?
I think so. I think me and Steve were having a bit of a chat before we started about like sort of people on the pitch. He's one of the guys you want on the pitch, isn't he, in terms of what he does for the team, in terms of talking people through matches and stuff. I think even just the balance he brings, obviously to lose sort of, you know, whatever the conversation is, we'll leave it for now around Trent, to lose sort of that dynamism on the right side, you know, you'd want that on the left at least from Robbo. But I think just sort of like the steel and the grit he brings, you know, mm-hmm. he knows what these types of games mean. He wants to play in these sort of big matches. And again, he's a player who, you know, he's good defensively, but he thinks about going forward. He tries to be positive in what he does in terms of like making runs for other people. You know, again, I know Milner's not the most popular at the minute, but, you know, that's what Milner's always been good for when he's come on, I think. He's always been good at sort of making runs and drawing people out the way. So I'm really happy he's back, and I thought it was noticeable sort of how different, how much better we looked. We looked so much more active against Rangers, I thought, when he came on.
I felt a bit sorry for Kostas because I think he's been brilliant while Robbo's been injured. I think, you know, a couple of goal line clearances, one against Rangers late on, one against Arsenal, was there as well, or was it Brighton? I forget now. But And his set piece delivery is absolutely spot on as well. Maybe some of the best I've ever seen at Liverpool, thinking about it from corners and stuff. But in the one game when Robbo's on the bench, I feel like he had his worst one.
Fashion Junior had him on toast in the first half, didn't he? It was hard to watch for. I felt sorry for the lad. He had an opportunity to really force the issue and kind of make that shirt his own. And whilst he's not let anybody down, I don't necessarily think he said, I'm a viable option to Andy Robbo, so you need to be looking at me. Never mind, he's fit. Leave him on the bench. I'm playing well. I don't think he's necessarily seized this opportunity. Going back to the point that John makes, we've seen Andy Robbo dig Virgil van Dijk out for mistakes. He's not frightened to tell people when they're not playing very well. I don't see that in Kostas, and we will need that the weekend when someone doesn't do something properly. Collectively, we need to get on that person's case, because the higher up you go in football, the more they dig you out for your mistakes. It's not the other way around. It gets worse the higher up you go. We're not doing enough of that, and he's a player that can bring you that. So for me, I think you're really spot on with your analysis there. 20 minutes, for me, suggests he starts on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some big decisions ahead, of course. But I always feel with Kostas, like, I really like him as a footballer. I think he's a really good defender. But when we get to that final third, Robbo is just a little bit more dynamic for me, looking for those overlaps and stuff like that. I always feel like when it goes to Kostas, he's going to stop and he's going to look for the pass inside. And at times it slows us down a little bit. And I think we're at our best when we're just sort of flying by the seat of our pants, and you just let that pure football, whatever it is, the memory take over, and you just play. You're just on the emotions of it all and stuff. Muscle memory is probably the better way to describe it, isn't it? So the big decision, what formation are we playing? If formations matter. We obviously went 4-3-3 against them in the Community Shield. I think they went 4-3-3 against us as well, to be honest with you. Now it looks like they're playing a bit more 4-2-3-1 anyway. Are we going to play this pseudo 4-2-2-2 that we maybe finished in last night? Are we going to play a 4-2-4? Are we going to play a 4-2-3-1? Steve Plunk has the answer, and it is this.
Well, it's not 4-3-3 because I don't think we've got enough in midfield. I think during the game we could rotate through all three of those other options you just gave: 4-2-2-2, 4-2-4, or 4-2-3-1,
or even 4-4-2.
Yeah, it's likely to be a 4-2-3-1. Is my belief, because that way we can still use Bobby to interject with Rodri or whoever's playing central defensive midfield for Manchester City. Because if you go and ask Rodri and you go and ask Jorginho and all the good CDMs in the Premier League, Firmino's a nuisance because he occupies a space where you want to receive the ball and where you want to play, and you can't. So that's me nailing my Bobby colours to the mast as well there. I think we could see that change two or three times, which is really good, because we could start 4-2-4 and ask the questions, but the four being really high and wide as opposed to slightly dropping off and almost being a 4-4-2. But I think there's loads of scope with the bodies that are available to us to rotate through all three of those, which is fantastic, because I think if there's been a criticism of Liverpool in the last couple of years when we've struggled to break teams down and win games, is that we've been a bit predictable. That takes all of that away, and it's quite refreshing to see it.
Is Bobby's first name on the team sheet after his performance last night?
I think you've got to be, yeah. I think the form he's been in, but also just sort of what he's been doing on the pitch as well. You know, he doesn't... So my answer to this question, I suppose, to answer your initial question, would be I think I'd go 4-3-3, although I'm slightly worried about personnel in terms of injuries and stuff, but I'd go 4-3-3 at least to start. But I think if you can sort of get him back to where he was, Firmino, in terms of what he was doing on the pitch, he seems to be getting the best out of everyone else. Like, times when he's come on, especially in the last game against Rangers, where that right side looked back to what it is normally, even without Trent on the pitch. Mm-hmm. You then obviously have a big Sadio Mane shaped hole on the left wing, which is what we still need to address if we play 4-3-3. But I don't think you can leave him out at the minute, because, you know, as Steve says, you know, for exactly the same reasons, I think he's great at sort of putting pressure on, you know, and playing in those half spaces, you know, am I going to go, am I not going to go, type of thing in terms of the press. He's really good for that, and he suddenly found his shooting boots, which for me is the most interesting thing, because I think if you did say get to 60 playing 4-3-3 and think, well, okay, we'll bring Nunes on or whatever, historically you'd take Bobby off. I don't think now actually you have to. I think you could probably leave him on and go, well, okay, maybe go play behind or off Nunes as the 10 if you like in that 4-2-3-1.
Malcolm Billington in the YouTube comments says, Firmino's been our best player this season by a country mile. Also just want to shout out Grizz Khan, who says, afternoon Redman, afternoon Grizz. Check out his Redfellas show, you often appear on there and stuff as well.
I do, yeah.
Grizz makes some great content.
Afternoon Grizz.
So thank you very much for joining us, Grizz. Hope everything's going well, mate. I'm going to get back to it then. Obviously, we've just been talking about Bobby Firmino there. I think everybody now is at the opinion that he needs to be involved in this game. I want you to tell me, John, how Mo Salah plays centrally.
I think you need to get him somewhere in between the goal lines for me. I thought it was interesting when he came, when he was playing against Rangers.
So anywhere on the pitch?
Anywhere on the pitch.
But in between the goal lines.
You know what I mean? It was the goal.
The goal posts.
Goal posts.
Yes, okay, sounds.
Distracted by side coming in, sorry.
Okay. That was brilliant. It could be anywhere.
Put him left back. Why not? I thought it was interesting against Rangers that he was playing a lot more almost as a nine, I thought. Or certainly he was popping up in those areas, if you like. And, you know, I don't want to say it implies causation, but he scores three goals. All right, Rangers aren't the best. All the other stuff we've discussed.
But love Yarder and Rangers.
But exactly, but you see sort of what we got back out of him. And that, like, at the end of the day, that's why we're paying him that money. All the stuff about the new contract last summer, we were paying him because we wanted that. And I know long-term, we've got to change what we do in terms of Nunes and younger players and stuff like that. But that's not my concern. My concern is I want to go out and beat City and get 3 points.
Do we have to start him centrally, or is his finishing position the most important?
We don't have to start him centrally. He can make inverted runs. If you're playing Nunes and Bobby, then you probably give Nunes the instruction to sort of work the left-hand channel a little bit more. Robbo back will strengthen the left-hand side a little bit as well in terms of the dynamism that you spoke about before. So potentially what Salah can do then is come and play slightly more in inverted and say to João Cancelo, who's a real danger going the other way, right, okay, you've got a problem, I'm going to stand here, I'm going to drift inside, I'm going to go and get involved in the game centrally. I've been thinking about this, do we, with the three or the four, do we make it narrower? But then when we make it narrower, we compress the space that these players want to run into, and they're running into each other's space, it becomes messy. So I think with that, I would probably start him on the right, for sure, but I would focus a lot more play down the left-hand side. And with Trent not being there, I think that'll happen anyway. He's no longer looking for Trent to create something because he's not there. So maybe we do a little bit more down the left-hand side and Salah can come in and make much more inverted runs. I think I'd like to see that.
There's one lad that I thought was excellent last night. Well, there's more than one lad that I thought was excellent. One of the lads that I thought was excellent last night was Harvey Elliott. Now, after a big performance from Harvey, after his first Champions League goal, John, is there a space in this side for Harvey against City, or is maybe that reserved for 4-3-3? If we were playing 4-3-3, I suppose, could he get into the side? And if not, can he?
If we're playing 4-3-3, I think there's a case for him starting, I would say, based on that.
Who would you have there? Hendo in the six, Thiago, Elliott?
Elliott, yeah. I think, given just what we've done this season, I don't know if he will, in the sense of I think he'll probably go with two in midfield and it'll probably be Thiago and Henderson or some combination of the three with Fabinho. But I think he's one of them. Like, I don't think him being on the bench and then coming in on 60 is a bad thing for us, because I think one thing we're probably going to need against City's legs, just in terms of how we've been this season, we're not finishing games strongly necessarily. And I think if we get to 60, it depends what the narrative of the game is, but if we get to 60 and we're doing well, I don't think it's a bad thing to bring him on, you know. And equally, if you get to 60, as Steve said before, if you get to 60 and you're 2-0 down or whatever, well, what have you got to lose? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Bring him on for that. But he adds such a spark, and he's so willing to do things, you know, in terms of what he does. You know, he's so energetic, and I realise these all sound like cliches about a young footballer, but he adds such a vibrancy to what we do, I think, in terms of like the middle third of the pitch. And these are the type of team where that's good. There's certain types of teams we're going to come up against in the league that you don't necessarily need that, but I think against City it's something that we can be looking for.
I completely agree with that, and Steve, I'll come to you next, mate. I've got a bit of a concern that Liverpool haven't put a game of football together since Bournemouth.
Yeah.
You know, even just thinking back over the last few weeks, Brighton, shocking first half, should have put the game to bed, didn't. I'm going to leave Rangers at home out of it, because I think that the opposition probably not. But even the Rangers away, to be fair, one half was good, one half was bad. Arsenal, the second half was fucking terrible.
Yeah, it was.
How do we make sure that these lads can go for 90 minutes? And is that already, you've got to use five subs?
Yeah, possibly. What I would say, more importantly, is you've got Manchester City coming to Anfield. This has been the biggest rivalry on the pitch in English football for 5 years. If your players can't motivate themselves to play for 90 minutes against Manchester City, already champions elect, already the team that we've been measuring ourselves against for season after season, and we can't be self-motivated and inspired enough to play against them, then we've got bigger problems than we think we have.
Okay. So four forwards.
Yeah.
That's what you're going with. You're going with
three
forwards, right? Who are you for and where are they playing before we go through the rest of the teams a little bit later?
So Jota naturally plays on the left. Salah plays on the right. I play Nunes right up at the top of that. And I give Bobby the job of sitting on the... When we haven't got the ball, he sits on the six. When we have got the ball, he just rotates and moves around and uses his ability to see where his teammates are, because he's a really, really clever footballer. You can't say to him, go and do this or do that. You just let him play. There's no replacement for Bobby because there's not another one in world football like him. So you just kind of say to him, go and do your thing. But when we haven't got the ball, I need you to be interacting with their number six, because what we don't want them to do is build from the back.
Yeah. And what about you, John? Who are your three forwards?
I'd start Salah right, Firmino up top, and Jota left, and I'd have Nunes as an option off the bench on 60 in either case.
Okay. So I'm assuming it's going to be very difficult for you to pick your betmate teams.
it looks that way.
Picking a team together right now.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant, obviously. I'm going to get you guys to pick this live. You go up against me and Paul and Steve in this one. Pot £1,000, as I mentioned before. It's £5 entry, and the promo code is REDMEN5. So if you go over, download the BetMate app and put the code REDMEN5 in. Link is in the description, of course, so you can just go on Google Play or the Apple Store, whatever that's called. Not an iPhone, so apologies. And you can just download BetMate. Use the referral code REDMEN5. You get a £5 free bet. You can go against us, but also you can win a share of £1,000. And as you saw the other week, I won £45, I think it was, in one pot, which was pretty cool. And I was very pleased with myself. So click the link in the description. Download the BetMate app from the App Store. Use referral code REDMEN5 as you sign up, and you will get a £5 free bet, and you will get involved in this Sunday pot for £1,000. Gentlemen, let's have a look at where you're going. So it's going to be difficult for you to pick your forwards, as we've already mentioned. You're going to have to just pick Liverpool players and Manchester City players. Points are awarded. You crack on, mate. It's on the screen, so you can just go there. Points are awarded for different things: interceptions, tackles, assists, goals, all kinds of stuff, so you can check the rules. So let's see. Where are you going with goalkeeper first? Oh,
confidence is low.
Mate, we look at our season, we are worried. Everyone's worried. Everyone's worried.
Shocking. Shocking. Where are we going, defenders? Who are you thinking right now? I already know.
Yeah.
Talk it out loud, lads.
Yeah, Cancelo.
Oh, lads. Just the Liverpool players.
He's going to get us an opportunity.
Do we think Canate will play?
He has to.
Because
he's a danger
for
set pieces as well,
isn't he?
Exactly.
Midfield.
One apiece.
Oh, they're splitting it down
the middle.
Noted that John picked the Liverpool player, by the way.
Yeah, noted.
Oh, have you gone for then?
Kevin De Bruyne.
My word. You have absolutely no confidence in Liverpool whatsoever.
Do what you think, mate.
Absolutely no confidence
Fine,
in Liverpool.
Fine, right. I will.
You think he's playing?
I think he'll play.
Who?
Elliot.
Oh, you're mad?
I think so.
This is where this is not joined up thinking. This is like a fucking ransom note in a movie. There's nothing to do with joined up thinking.
No,
who
it's
are you
not
going
right.
for?
But it's a points game. If he gets on and scores, I'm sound.
Okay. Who's that?
Erling Haaland. It has to be.
You have absolutely no confidence in Liverpool in this game. I find it shocking and disturbing that you're doing an uncensored match build up show and you can't even pick. All right, you haven't even got four Liverpool players. Who's that third one you picked then?
Diogo Jota.
I'd like to see your team, Chris, because I don't.
Well,
think
we'll see
got
my
four.
Team in a minute, mate, and you'll see that I'm full four. Of confidence. I've got mine's, you know, jelly and ice cream for days, mate. Liverpool players for days. We're here. We are absolutely loving life. You're picking your substitutes right now. You can only have a maximum, I believe, of six players from one side. So you can only have, obviously, Liverpool's goalkeeper. You've got a Liverpool defender there. Couldn't see who it was. And you're not talking about it, so you're not telling me who you're picking.
Because the pressure's on.
Come on, who are you picking? Who did you pick last pick?
I picked... forgot.
Brilliant. Brilliant. The level of detail that these lads... This is why Redmen guest is last. Who was the last pick?
It was Phil Foden as a sub.
He's not even on the pitch for you. Are you mad when you're picking all them City
I wouldn't have picked Harvey Elliott.
I'm really surprised. I mean, I've put Mo Salah on the bench, but you know.
Can you go through your team and try and get some reasoning in there for me, will you?
Oh God.
You've just vice-captained Harvey Elliott. Are you mad?
No, we're vice-captaining him, mate.
This has gone terribly. You're vice-captaining Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne is your captain.
So do you want to go through the City players and I'll go through the Liverpool players?
Yeah, go on. So in goal, we went with Edison on the basis that in current form, who leaks least, essentially. Yes. Cancelo is a major threat going in the opposite direction. So he's, as proven last weekend, he is likely to get you a goal. Hopefully not this weekend, but against everybody else, that's been a feature. You can't leave De Bruyne out, and I don't think you can leave Erling Haaland out, because if you're playing a numbers game and you're playing for prizes, those guys are, well, they're just delivering out there every week.
Exactly. I think Konate is more of a threat on set pieces, and I think he's more likely to probably get more forward than Van Dijk in terms of at the back. Elliott, I think, is a wild card, but I just
no doubt.
But I think he's the type of player who, if he comes on, you can see something happening. And similarly with Jota, I think it's easy to put Salah in, but he's not been in the best of form, barring the hat trick. But I think this is the type of game where he gets in amongst City. You know, if we do end up in that sort of 4-2-3-1, he's the one sort of.
I like the Jota shout. I'm not convinced on the Elliott shout.
I think that's a bit of a mad one, to be honest with you. I think John lost his marbles.
We'll see.
So there we go. Differentials. That's the Red Men guest team.
Just for the record, if John kills the guests, it wasn't me.
Okay. Look, I mean, listen, I'll have to show you my team and everybody else's team now. So let's bring up the presenters' teams for this week. Chris Bajak's team. Oh, wow. Woo! Edison, Virgil van Dijk, Cancelo, Phil Foden, Kevin De Bruyne, Roberto Firmino and Erling Haaland.
Not many Liverpool players,
is that? No, but also I'm playing a game against you and I made you pick Harvey Elliott. So
game on.
Game on, mate. Game on.
You made John pick Harvey Elliott. Let's have it right.
Got well in his head then. He was like, no, all right, I'll pick a Liverpool player. Brilliant. I'm loving it. I'm here for the win. I'm season long, mate. You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking. I just need to get a few points gap to the Red Men guest. And I really hope I'm wrong. Really hope Harvey Elliott does the business for you. And I'm completely wrong. And the fact that you've got three Liverpool players does you and I lose. I really genuinely hope that is the case. But let's see Paul's team next then, if you don't mind, please. Paul, he's just as confident as you. He's got Konate, he's got Thiago, and he's got Darwin Nunes with Haaland, Kevin De Bruyne, and João Cancelo, and Edison in goal. And finally, let's roll straight into Steve's team, who looks distraught at picking five City players. He's got Salah and Van Dijk with Haaland, Foden, De Bruyne, Cancelo and Edison. So not one of us has the confidence in Alisson that we're going to get a clean sheet, which probably tells you exactly where Liverpool's form is so far this season. If you want to play along, of course, download the BetMate app, use the code REDMEN5 and you will be able to get a £5 free bet, and you can get in there. If you get in the top ones, you win money, and it's a £1,000 pot for this one.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So now, finally, we get to pick our starting 11s in their entirety, John. What's yours, mate, to begin with?
Alisson in goal.
Yeah.
I would go Van Dijk, Konate, centre-half. Robertson's back in, and that presumably means Gomez is at right back with Trent's injury. I would go Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago as my starting midfield. Mo Salah.
Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, no Elliot.
No, it comes on 60 and
scores. Okay, son, I'm just checking. Mate. Look, he's absolutely fuming.
What the... Why on this back to the agenda point? Like, yeah, where I said, I think you'll come on at 60. Salah, Firmino, and Jota.
Amateur.
Salah, Firmino, Jota. It's a good side. Like, do you really, like, this is your side, or is this what you think Jürgen will do?
I think it's what he'll do. I think it's a personnel thing. I think he's had in his mind, going back to the summer when we've signed and stuff, that we're going to transition into a new formation. But it hasn't worked in the sense of we haven't had the time on the pitch to learn it. And now he's got that many injuries that I think it's just you go with what you know. You know what I mean? And
can I pick that up? Do you think he was going to change formation before the in the summer? Yeah. This isn't down. I thought that's interesting.
I think Nunes, and like I say, long term, I think the Nunes thing up front, and we do play three behind or whatever sort of iteration that takes is, right? I just think at the minute you haven't got the players and he hasn't got the time to sort of go. So you do just revert to type and go, right, go back to what's got us here for the last 4 or 5 years, and we just get to the World Cup, and then I've got 6 weeks with whoever's not there or whoever comes back early, personally. But that's why I'd go 4-3-3 at City.
I think if we hadn't signed Nunes, he still would have changed the formation. I think he felt he needed one of the three to be closer to the front line, which is why he's tried the Harvey Elliott exercise twice. Last season he got injured, we know that, and he missed loads of games with that terrible injury. He had played the 4 opening games of the season, including Chelsea at home. I just think he needed to get someone from the midfield closer to the front line. And I think the double pivot in the season when we won all but 2 points in our last 10 games when we played Phillips and Williams as centre-backs said to him, you can play a double pivot and a slightly more advanced midfielder and it doesn't cost you too much.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I saw it.
Yeah, and listen, you know more than anyone about Dortmund and what Klopp's formation was back then. And he loved the 4-2-3-1, didn't he? John is literally the Dortmund expert. If it was a mastermind, like Dortmund era.
Really?
Yeah, John's encyclopedic.
I watched a lot of German football.
Yeah. So, and obviously, he was a fan of 4-2-3-1 back then, so he knows how to integrate it with his high pressing side and stuff like that. That is one of the things that I actually wanted to talk about, and I'll come to you on this, Steve, first and foremost. And I asked this question on the final words, the guests, and I'm interested to see if you guys have the same opinion. Do you think Liverpool played the high press last night against Rangers?
Didn't have to. They pressed in certain areas because they didn't have the quality to get out. So they didn't do... If you sit in the stands and watch Liverpool's press when it was in full effect, it goes like that. And it absolutely strangles the life out of you and you've got nowhere to go. They're not doing that at the moment because they haven't got the bodies to do that and they haven't got the intensity. So they're more identifying certain players to press.
Mm-hmm.
In the Arsenal game, someone said to me after the game, did you see Salah run straight at that person? It was like watching Bruno Fernandes press. And I was like, but did anybody behind him move with him? And they said, no. Right, so that section of the press
wasn't
on that side didn't work, and it makes Salah look really bad, but it's not meant to, because it did force the guy to play a ball, but it was an easy out ball because no one else moved with him, and that's part of the frustration this season. So no, I don't think we played a particularly high-intensive press against Rangers because we didn't have to, And we wanted to conserve energy for the weekend. That's my opinion of last night.
Because I thought Liverpool played a bit of a mid-block, to be honest. You know, there was times when Rangers were just passing the ball around the back, and I thought, oh, this is a bit strange. But maybe it is to do with what Steve's saying there, where the quality of opposition isn't great. You probably think you can try and nick it in the middle of the park, and you are conserving a little bit of energy, John.
No, I completely agree with what Steve said, analysis-wise there. And I suppose it sort of goes full circle, I guess, to what I was saying sort of at the start of the show, is the thing of, at our best, we were never worried about passing the ball around for 10 minutes or sort of not necessarily going for it, you know, sort of sitting back and going, because we know we're going to get a chance. I think we've been too guilty this season, I think, of like, we take that sort of fear and anxiety that we've had of conceding into every game to the point where then, you know, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. We're not brave and adventurous. We do stupid things because we're trying to not let it happen, when really we should just go in and just, you know, feel comfortable. So I don't think we did. And I think, you know, first half obviously didn't look great. Second half, I think once we sort of grew into the game a bit more, it looked a lot more effective. And maybe it's a halfway house for the time being until we start getting bodies back on the pitch where we know we can sort of rotate and stuff and change things. But there's that many games, I think.
Whilst on that point, when Rangers capitulated, we went for the throat. Mm. And I thought that was really good. And that's something that we've been lacking. So as soon as we saw a major chink in their armour, we didn't relent. And, you know, 7 goals scored in like 85 minutes, you're thinking they might get another couple here because that's the way they were playing. So that edge to the attack came back in abundance last night. So we started the show saying, does it give them confidence? Then hopefully it does.
Yeah, hopefully. And with that, you know, we're playing, you're playing a 2-man midfield, aren't you, with the four up? Can you go through your team for us?
Yeah, so back four for me picks itself at the minute. I would bring Robbo back. I'd play Van Dijk and Konate with Gomez with Alisson in goal. So that's about 5. I would play Henderson and Thiago as my double pivot, purely because there'll be times when Henderson needs to be the captain and get things organised, because City will have spells when they dominate the game, hopefully not too many. And then my four, I'm going to go with Jota on the left, Nunez and Bobby, and Salah on the right, but with the remit for Bobby to engage their six. And stop their centre backs.
Just going to go all countdown and be like, yeah, we got there as well. We've got exactly the same side. If you can just confer, we'll get the 6 points apiece.
Yes.
Okay, so that's exactly the side that I think as well, with Bobby and Nunez in the up top and Salah and Jota from the sides. And I like that thing we were talking about before of like, it's his ending position, Salah, for me. It's how you get him on the ball in the box. And, you know, is that clever runs by Bobby Firmino, dropping deep and dragging a centre half, if you can get him to do that and Salah hit that space while Nunez moves over to that left-hand side. That's the interesting battle for me. And I know that City are really well-drilled. I don't think that Liverpool are going to be a counter-attacking side. I think we're going to have to work really hard to get through Manchester City at times. We're going to need that ball from Joe Gomez into Bobby Firmino's feet. And, you know, that's something that I think is really difficult to do against Manchester City. So how we do that is going to be really, really interesting for me. And I can't wait for the game, to be honest with you. I feel really excited now. You know, I joked at the start of this show about, you know, where I felt that Liverpool were and what we could probably achieve against Manchester City, and it being a draw. I genuinely think the game is going to end in a draw, I'll be honest with you. But I think Liverpool now have the ability to win the game. And prior to yesterday, I really didn't. And that's really unusual. Mm. Like, I've been doing this 12 years. I've never predicted a loss. Had yesterday not happened, had the game ended at half-time, I would have predicted my first loss in 12 years on Red Men TV. And it would have been heavy as well, to be quite honest with you. But right now, as somebody earlier on in the comments said, I am going to predict the Desmond a little 2-2.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think there'll be goals. I think there'll be lots of goals. If we do what we can do going forward, we'll get it there back four. And if they do what they do going forward, they might get it out back four. So I think there will be goals. I think it will be a draw. It could even be 3-3. I think this is going to be a really open game.
Oof.
And a stressful one.
I agree. I think it'll be 2-2. But I think it'll be like the last day of school where you'd have like year 10.
People writing on each other's shirts?
No, year 10 v year 11 type thing.
Okay.
You know, just tackles everywhere. Crazy.
Nice. I like that. Who's going to get the goals? Javier off the bench, obviously.
Obviously off the bench. I think Jota. I think Jota and... All right, let's go with Elliot.
Who were you actually going to say? Because Steve would fume if you didn't say Elliot.
He's never invited me back on this show ever.
Go on, Steve, what about you? 3 goals.
Harvey Elliott, when he comes on in 60 minutes, going to get a hat-trick.
Let's hope that.
So John messages me and says, see, I told you, lad. No. I think Jota will score. I do think Jota will score. I think Mo might score as well. And then I think we might get a set piece.
Bobby?
Possibly.
Who takes the set pieces? Robbo?
As long as Henderson doesn't, I'm all right. He's always sniffing around the free kicks and they're like, don't you dare.
Yeah. I mean, genuinely, it's an interesting question.
It would
No Tsimikas.
It would be Mo.
What about corners? Is it just Robbo?
Robbo, you've got an in-swinger and an out-swinger, haven't you? You can set up for them.
Is there anything in Van Dijk taking free kicks?
No, he's done it once.
When
that
he
was
Celtic shirt,
we all shouted at him. Don't do it again.
He's good at free kicks.
I don't know what happened to him.
And then when he was annoyed when he took that free kick, and then he put it out the ground, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a terrible free kick.
People needed hospital treatment afterwards. But no, I think Salah's an obvious candidate for free kicks.
Well, there we go then. Thank you very much for joining us. Of course, we're not quite finished yet. I'm going to get in. Oh, here we go. Davtech Cyber says Liverpool shall smash City 5-2. Daniel Butter says got to keep it tight at the back. David says what about Haaland? I think Haaland will score too. In my 2-2 draw, Haaland scores 2. Yeah, Bobby Firmino is going to get a brace as well for me. Why not? I think he's going to score. We've obviously got Klopp's press conference coming up at some point tomorrow on the YouTube channel and in podcast form, if that's your shtick. And we've got the starting 11 show later on today with Paul Machen. He's going to put his significant brain power to trying to work out what Jurgen Klopp is going to do. So thank you so much for joining me. Please, 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 we are on the road to 500,000 subscribers. Do, if you are here and you've enjoyed the show, just click that little subscribe button. It costs you absolutely no money and it makes me very, 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 very happy. We are less than 500 away from 500,000. It's been 12 years in the make and I appreciate every single one of you that has subscribed so far, watched, commented, liked, shared, anything. It all helps us massively. So thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for joining me, Steve, and for John. Really enjoyed that chat and we'll see you all soon. Ta-ra.
If you enjoyed this podcast, then we've got a whole load more for you right now. Head over to redmenplus.com. You can get extra Red Men podcasts. You've got Around the League, you've got The Debate Show, JLO Insight with Neil Jones, and Podcast Extra, all the stuff that we could never possibly broadcast on public spaces. It is there, available in your native podcasting app on the go as well. Head to redmenplus.com and sign up.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.